He died in his sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know you not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit did you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. There are numerous passages of Scripture in the entirety of the Word of God concerning sin. We find here in Romans 5 and 12, Paul the Apostle declared, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. On the other hand, there are more than 1,000 promises in the Word of God pertaining to salvation. I name one to you tonight in Hebrews 7 and 25, wherefore God is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to him, seeing he ever liveth, to make intercession for them. But the verse that I'm using for my text this evening concerns sin and pertains to salvation. And may I repeat, Romans 6:23. Paul gave this declaration, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You're either lost tonight on the road to hell, or you're either saved on the road to heaven. You go away from here this hour either with Christ in your heart or without Christ. 1 John 5 and 12, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And so, you're either lost or you're either saved. You either have Christ or you don't have Christ. You're either on the road to hell or you're on the road to heaven. And so, I'd like to deal with this passage of Scripture tonight, first of all, by saying the wages of sin is death. Amen. A ticket to hell.
Amen.
The wages of sin, beloved, was death. The wages of sin tonight is death, and the wages of sin shall continue to be death until the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, comes back to this very earth. So as we search the pages of biblical history, we find out through all the ages, the wages of sin has been death. In the very beginning, when God placed man and woman yonder in the Garden of Eden, we find that man and woman, Adam and Eve, had everything their heart so contended for. And the devil came to them, the devil tempted them, and man and woman sinned against God. Someone asked this pastor this week, who was the first one that sinned against God? And I believe I'm right. Didn't you answer Eve? And then she offered the apple to Adam, and Adam sinned against the Lord. You know, someone has said that man had been laying off his sins on women ever since the Garden of Eden. And I suppose that's right. And so, in the very beginning, man and woman, Adam and Eve, sinned against God. You may disagree with my theology tonight, but I doubt very seriously if man would have ever had to die if man had not sinned against God. But because of man's disobedience, because of man's iniquity, because of man's sin, the penalty of death was placed upon man. And the reason someday you're going to have to die, the reason someday I'm going to have to die is because in the very beginning, man in his unrighteousness disobeyed God. For the wages of sin was death.
Amen.
The wages of sin was death in the days of Abraham. Abraham was a man of great integrity. He and God looked over the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And there God had a talk with Abraham. And God said to Abraham, if I can find 50 righteous people in those wicked cities, I'll not destroy them. But God could not even find 45, 40, 35, 38, could not even find 25, 28, could not even find 10 righteous people in the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible says very vividly that God utterly rained fire and brimstone from heaven upon these wicked cities, and every person outside of Lot, his wife, and two daughters met death. You know, sometimes ago, a modernistic preacher made the remark that God used the natural resources to destroy these wicked cities. And I don't believe that God is unlimited, beloved. I believe that God can do anything because I believe God is all-powerful, don't you?
Amen. Amen.
But I want you to know, when the Bible said that God utterly rained fire and brimstone from heaven upon these wicked cities and destroyed them in this way, I believe what God said.
Amen.
Before I believe some modernistic, liberalistic preacher, even some atheistic scientist, don't you?
Amen.
And so the wages of sin was death in the days of Abraham. The wages of sin was death in the days of Noah. According to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, Noah was a righteous man. He was a man of faith. And the scriptures reveal to our heart that Noah found favor in the eyes of God. And Noah went to a desert place to build an ark where it hadn't rained for years. Why? Because he was following the leadership of the Lord. What do you think about an old fogey, old-fashioned, hard-shell, predestinaire, I should say, I guess, a Baptist preacher, who went to a desert place to build an ark where it hadn't rained for years? You know what D.L. Moody said? I didn't say it. D.L. Moody said, if Noah had a board of stewards or WMU society, he never got the ark built. But you know, he wasn't depending upon the arm of flesh or the humanist mentality of man. He is depending upon the revelation of God.
Amen.
The divine leadership of the Lord. And so he went to the desert place. He built the ark. He placed 8 souls and 2 of every kind in the ark. And then the Bible very clearly said the raindrop starts falling from the heavens as the clouds did hover low. And the Bible reveals to us that it rained for 40 days and for 40 nights. And if you read the scriptures very carefully, you'll find that when Noah and God had placed all these in the ark, that God closed the door.
Amen.
Of the ark. And the only ones that were saved were those inside the ark. But everyone else outside the ark met death. You say, why? In the declaration of my text tonight, for the wages of sin was death. The wages of sin was death in the New Testament under the reign of Titus when people lived in the city of Jerusalem. And even as the wages of sin was death in the Old and New Testament, as the wages of sin was death in the past, the wages of sin is death even here tonight, and the wages of sin shall always be death yon in the future. And as men live without God, they die without Him. And as they live without God and they die without Him, they'll spend eternity in an eternal, literal, burning hell apart from the Lord forever. And usually as men live without God, they die that way.
Yeah.
Billy Graham recently said that if a man is not saved before he is 25 years of age, he has one chance out of 1,000 or more to be converted. And I believe that. And so as we study the history of famous infidels and atheists, as they lived without God, they died without the Lord. It was said of Voltaire, a famous infidel, before he came to die, his doctor came to his bedside. Voltaire said, "Doctor, could you spare my life for 6 months?" And the physician answered back, "Voltaire, you cannot live for 6 hours." He said, "I'll die and go to hell, and you'll go with me." It was said of Hume, he spoke in these words, "Hell is refuge from my presence." Ethan Allen, before he came to face death, his little daughter came to his bedside. She said, "Daddy, you're talking that hell is a myth. You're talking there's nothing to the wrath or the judgments of God. But Mommy's talking to go to Sunday school and church. She's talking the principles of the teachings of Jesus Christ. Now, Daddy, you're coming to die. Which way should I take, your way or Mother's way?" That old infidel, with the last ounce of his strength, reached up, caught hold of his little daughter's arm and pulled her close to his bosom, and with tears in his eyes, he said, "For God's sake, honey, take Mother's way." Grasping for breath, all probability, plunged into hell, lost, apart from God. Bob Ingram saw that higher defamer of the Christian's God and preached his gospel of filth and suicide around the world. When bringing his brother's funeral sermon in great oratory, he said, "In the night of death, hope sees a star. Listening love can hear the rustle of an angel's wing." After a while, when Bob Ingersoll came to die, he lifted his eyes toward the eternities, and he said, "Oh God, if there be a God," still having a doubt within himself, "have mercy on my dying soul." Napoleon Bonaparte, the military strategist of France, before he died, he said, "I die before my time, and my body will go back to the dust." Such was the fate of the great Napoleon. They lived without Christ. They died without him. They'll spend eternity in hell apart from the Lord forever and forever. You are here tonight. You say, "Brother Vestal, you cannot classify me with the atheist, with the agnostic, with the infidel, with the modernist. You cannot classify me with these people." But I want you to know, if you're an unbeliever and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and in your continuation you live in sin, as you live for the world and for the devil, and as you die that way, you'll spend eternity in an eternal literal hell. Amen. Apart from God, and these that we have mentioned just now will be your associates and your companions in an eternal literal burning hell. Why? For the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death tonight to the character of every noble man. The wages of sin is death to the virtue of every beautiful woman. The wages of sin is mental death, moral death, second death, physical death. But most horrifying and most terrifying, the wages of sin is spiritual death. Ezekiel 18:4, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." The wages of sin is universal death. The wages of sin is inescapable death. And I don't care who you are tonight, someday you're going to have to die. You know, Howard Hughes, one of the richest men that ever lived, with all of his men, he was being flown from another nation to Houston, Texas. And on the voyage, he met death. His money couldn't save him. Sid Richards, with all of his millions, had to meet death. H.L. Hunt, probably one of the richest men that ever lived. His income was $100,000 a day. Had to meet death. Marilyn Monroe, probably one of the most beautiful women that ever lived. The day before her death, she had an appointment with the preacher to talk to. But the next day, she committed suicide and broke the appointment. She met death. Jane Mansfield, who probably had the most beautiful body of any woman on the earth, was in an automobile accident, and her head was cut off to her shoulder. She met death. In my life, I've seen kings and queens as they have had to die. I've seen presidents of the United States, and those in the political realm with all of their power, as they have had to die. And someday, my friend, you're going to have to meet death. Someday, you're going to die. Have you made preparation to meet the Lord thy God, even as you are here tonight, as you face death, for the wages of sin is death, a ticket to hell. But aren't you glad there's a remedy?
Amen.
Amen.
Paul talks about a path to heaven. The apostle said the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Salvation tonight is through Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation any other, for there is another name under heaven given among men, whereby you and I, whereby we, everyone, must be saved. Only one way to heaven tonight, and that's through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For the Bible said that Christ came to save. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save those which are lost. Jesus Christ died to save, but God committed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. Romans 5:8, Jesus Christ lives to save. John 14:6, Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me, Jesus said. Salvation is through Jesus Christ. Think about the contrast tonight of those that live for Christ and those that died for him, and they'll spend eternity with him forever and forever. It was said of John Wesley, the founder of old-fashioned Methodism, the best of all, God is with us. John Calvin, the founder of old-time Presbyterianism, said, Lord Jesus, thou hast loved me even to the end. Gladstone, a man of great brilliance, made this statement, a rock in a weary land. Dr. William Harper, a man with great intellect, humbled his heart and prayed the prayer of a little child. Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Some time ago, someone asked one of the greatest theologians in America, what was the greatest time of your life? They thought he'd give some theological discourse, but he said the greatest time of my life was when I walked down to the altar of the church and gave my heart to the Lord and Savior. And I'm reminded of this little hymn that I love that means so much to me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Amen.
The sainted mother, before entering the perils of eternal glory, began to sing so softly, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Another sainted mother sang, nearer my God to thee, nearer my God to thee. I wish I had time to give the testimony of Catherine Booth, who was the wife of the founder of the Salvation Army, General Booth, when her body lay yonder in state. And as the people came by, they gave thrilling testimonies of how this woman had gone to the slums of the city and told people about Jesus. They live for God. They died for him, and they'll spend eternity with him forever and forever. And you that are here tonight, born again believer, as you live for Christ and die for him, you'll spend eternity with the Lord forever. And these that are mentioned just now will be your associates and your companions when you reach glory. Why? Salvation through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This salvation tonight is the free gift of God's love. You say, why is this salvation the free gift of God's love? Because it's been paid for. And this salvation is the night that I walked down to the altar of a church in Wolf City, Texas. I was a young man, some 19 years of age. I have less than 25 cents. If I'd had to buy salvation that night, I'd have died and gone to hell because I didn't have enough money to buy. I was just a poor country boy. But I want you to know, if I'd have been the great-grandson of John D. Rockefeller, and if I'd have had $1 million in my pocket, I still couldn't have bought
salvation.
So salvation is free. Salvation has been paid for. Salvation is priced through the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Supposing we were privileged to search the libraries of America, receive all the intellectuality and the wisdom and the knowledge of men, and place it over here. Then go with me to the estates of Vanderbilt and get all of his riches and place it over here. Go with me tonight to Rome, Italy, Paris, France, where passions originate, and receive all the beauty of society and place it over here. Go with me to Washington, D.C. and get all the prestige of politicians and put it over here. And then, as we use our imagination, it becomes a reality as we turn to the New Testament. And go back a little over 1900 years ago and see there a place called the Hill of Golgotha. There's a man to my right dying in sin. A man to my left dying in sin. But there on that middle cross, there is one who knew no sin.
Amen.
And that one was Jesus.
Amen.
And we reach forth with our feeble efforts and we catch one drop of that blood that does fall from the body of Jesus. I'm reminded of the hymn writer who wrote, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all their guilty stains." Yes, lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all their guilty stains. But may I remind you tonight that not only did Christ give one drop of his blood, but he gave every drop of his blood that you and I, according to Ephesians 1 and 7, Colossians 1, 14, Revelation 1 and 5, our sins washed away through the preciousness of his blood.
Amen.
Sometimes you'll hear someone say, "Well, I don't like that preacher because he talks about a bloody religion." And I want you to know when I talk about the blood of Christ, beloved, it's sacred.
Amen.
This blood is pure and this blood is sacred. Oh, without the blood of Jesus Christ, you cannot have your sin given. For the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And I'm not talking about a slaughterhouse religion now. I'm talking about a Christianity through the preciousness of the purity of the blood of Jesus Christ that he gave on Calvary. I had a doctor friend in Houston who surrendered to the will of God under my ministry. He went on to be of the Lord some time ago. But he is a skilled physician and also a layman preacher. And he told me one day, he said, "Dan, if the blood would stop 5 seconds circulating from your body to your brain, you would die immediately. And so there can be no life physically apart from the precious and the purity of blood that streams through your body. And so according to Leviticus, in the Old Testament, there can be no eternal life apart from the blood of Jesus Christ, which was given upon the cross. There is no life in the flesh apart from the blood. And there is no salvation apart from the blood
Amen.
Of Jesus Christ." I want you to know, anyone that preaches the life of Jesus without the blood of Christ, it's no gospel.
That's right.
Because it takes it off. The blood, the life of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we reach forth with our feeble efforts. And we catch one drop of that blood that does fall from Emmanuel's veins, even though he gave every drop of his blood. But one drop of that blood tonight would cause all the intellect of man, the wisdom of man, the knowledge of men, the beauty of society, the prestige of men, the riches of men, the fade and to vanish away. Why? This blood of Jesus Christ, this salvation tonight, is priceless.
Amen.
Because salvation has been paid for. And salvation is priceless through Jesus Christ. No man can buy salvation. It's a free gift of God's love. And here's one verse of scripture that I've never been able to interpret. And I wish these precious men of God tonight, Ephesus, would explain it to me better. "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him." Think about it. For God hath made Christ to be sin for us. Christ, who knew no sin, in that very moment became sin and still had sin upon him, your sin and my sin upon him, and still he was without sin. Think about it. That you, that I, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. I can't understand, but that's how much God loved us. He loved us enough that he gave his all, his only begotten Son. He, even in his perfectness, became imperfect in that very moment that you, in your imperfectness, might be made perfect. And still, Christ was without sin. Then again, we find in Isaiah, hundreds of years before Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, he said, "By whose stripes you were healed," spiritually. And then, in the New Testament, the Bible said, "Who is on self, Christ, bare our sins, your sin and my sin, in his own body, the body of Christ, on the tree on Calvary, that we, you and I, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed," spiritually. I wish I knew how to say it. "By whose stripes you were healed," spiritually. "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death
in the flesh, but quickened by salvation. The free gift of God's love, because it's been paid for through Jesus and this salvation. I don't care who that man is tonight. All the money in the world cannot buy salvation. I don't care how poverty stricken that individual is. They cannot receive enough sympathy from God to obtain salvation. But because of the free gift of God through Jesus Christ, and salvation has been paid for in this way, it is priceless.
Amen.
Do you? Second chapter, Romans 10:13, Acts 2:21. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
There's an invitation coming from the Trinity tonight. God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit, the convictor of man's sin, the Holy Spirit, the comforter of every born-again believer. There's an invitation coming from the hearts of these preachers. There's an invitation coming from the heart of every believer here tonight. There's an invitation coming from my heart. And there's an invitation coming from the Bible. According to Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the Bride said, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. An invitation for you tonight, that you might be saved. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
One day I was walking life's pathway. I was a young man, some 13 years of age. There was a voice that said, Dan, come up higher. I have eternal life for you. You can have peace in your heart. You can have happiness in your life. Contentment. Another voice said, Dan, come this way. I'll give you everything also. I had no choice. I can either take God's way or Satan's way. I can take the way to heaven or the way to hell. I can take the pathway of righteousness or the pathway of sin. And as a young man, I made a foolish choice. I turned my eyes from God. I turned my face from Jesus Christ. I turned my back upon the eternal heaven. I started walking down the pathway. And finally, I came to a beautiful palace. And there the devil and his charming personality invited me in. I saw the beautiful draperies hanging from the window. The costly carpets were upon the floor. There was the chair of ease and the table and the cup of flesh. The devil said, all this is yours, Dad. You're just serving. And from day to day, I did serve the Satan that asked me. I served the devil. And I enjoyed the pleasures of the first seed of things. But one day I was so discontent, I didn't know what. And I turned to Satan, and I'm going to get out of this forever. There in his charming personality, once again, he persuaded me to stay a little longer. The longer I stayed, the more discontent I was. The more miserable I was. And I want you to know tonight, young people, adults, the word, pleasure doesn't. Because as I looked, the beautiful draperies had faded, and the costly carpets had done the same. The cup and the table of pleasure had become bitter. And as I made my way from that house, I thought I heard it. And I turned around, and the palace had crushed. And I said, thank God, I escaped. I deserve hell. I deserve it, but for the grace of God, here I stand. And now, as a young man, 19 years of age, lying flat on my back on a hospital operating table, only one way to look, and that was to look up to God. And I paused there for a moment and said, God, would you give me another chance? And those words flashed before my eyes, pounded in my heart, where Jesus Christ said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Amen. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Come up higher, Dan. Come up higher. And I started toward my destination. I'd gone as far as I could go, and a voice whispered and said, look to your right. And I looked over there, and I saw little blood spilled over there. Look to your left. And I looked over there, and I saw little blood spilled over there. And I paused and I said, thank God, someone has been this way before. And that someone was. And as I placed my feet in the footsteps of Jesus, as I placed my hand in the nail-scarred hand, there out of his infinite love and infinite grace, he reached down. After I'd gone as far as I could go no longer. What great philosopher was it that said, man's extremity is God's up there. God, out of his marvelous grace and love, lifted me up out of the miry clay in the dust of the ground, the pits of hell, and even the wages of sin, set my feet on the solid rock.
Amen.
And gave me the hope, praise of eternity. Christ in you for the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. But he also said, Christ is all and in all. And he'll save you tonight.
Amen.
He'll give you eternal life, even though the wages of sin might be death. Thanks be unto God. The gift of our Lord is eternal life through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Would you come tonight? I feel like this message has been here in this service. We're going to sing an invitation hymn. What number, Brother King? Number 222. And as we sing this hymn, the pastor will stand in with us all. If you feel the need of stepping forth and coming forth, giving your heart to Christ, giving your life to God, why don't you do it? Trust Him. Confess Him as your Savior. Call upon Him. He'll save you. Stand together and sing.